Thank you, everyone, for joining us on episode 16 of 90 Day React, Babas and Banter. While we will be getting to the Tell All Part 4 reaction, please keep in mind that the introduction of this podcast includes a personal story that may be disturbing to some. We do talk about the death of a neighbor. If you'd like to skip the introduction, skip to 7 minutes and 40 seconds. Thanks again, everyone, for listening.
Yeah, have you seen anyone? The type of movies that they show you in the first scene, you see what happened at the end, and they show you that in the beginning, and then you go
the
back.
The whole movie's
in time.
A flashback, yeah.
Yeah. I came home Tuesday night, I think it was, and I opened the main door, come into the hallway, and the smell of the stench, it was just driving
what?
Me crazy. It's like so bad. And I thought to myself, oh, that's she put out spoiled food again and by the trash chute again. So I check my mail, come upstairs and go into my apartment. And in about like maybe 20 minutes later, I hear a conversation in the hallway. I think it was downstairs. People were talking and, you know, talking normally, but here just like walls are made out of thin paper.
Paper,
you can
yeah.
hear everything. So I hear this conversation and they come up the stairs and knock on her door. She doesn't open and they call her name. Open the door and nothing happens. And so I go and check everything out from the people here, and I see that there's the board president with two cops. They're trying to, you know, open the door, and they couldn't get in, and exactly where I am, but on the opposite side.
So all the way down at the other end of the hallway.
Yeah, you can see directly, like a direct line from my door to our door.
Oh my God.
And so they wait around, and then the two cops are just talking to each other, and some people come and go. Meantime, my next door neighbor comes home, and they're telling her, oh, it's like somebody's in there, and I think we're dead. You know, she's gone, she's dead. So I think it was about, I don't know, it was an hour later, two other people come. And I can see that they were able to push the door open, and I see the apartment was dark, and I see a flashlight shining down on the floor. And they go in there, and the two cops stay outside, and the two guys go in. They went in with, I could see, you know, they put gloves on and the covers on, and they go in. They investigate the area, and they come out, and they say, yep. Tell the cops that this is what we're going to do. You're going to have to wait for the medic or medics or the to come and take the body. So then, and then they put the body into the white bag. They open up, they put the body in there, and they pick it up, and they come out, and they take her downstairs, and they close the door, and they left. Yeah, it's just like...
you must feel like, something. I don't know, I would feel like scared or unsettled or like...
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen.
Like, I don't want to be there, like,
I don't
because
know
of
if
that
she
experience.
Has anybody. I don't know if she has relatives. I don't know what's going to happen with the apartment legally. Like, if any, how is it going to be taken care of? Does the state take over? I don't know. Their attorneys, I guess, has to run through its process. And who's going to buy that place now? You know, knowing the history.
Well, I think we know who's going to buy that place now.
At half the price.
Yeah. I think it's just all very sad and upsetting, but also really, really sad whenever you hear something like this. Because it's
right.
Like, did they not have... anyone in their life to check up on them. Like, that's a lot of people's biggest fears is that, like,
right.
especially if they live alone or whatever. So that's really upsetting to think right. that
I know.
This is how her life ended. But for those who don't remember, rewind a couple episodes towards the beginning of our season to when my dad shared about this other neighbor on the floor that wanted to buy his apartment. They also wanted to buy this person's apartment. And it's suspicious. That's all I'm saying. That the person was very insistent on buying my dad's apartment.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they were insistent on this other one. And from what you've shared, they had this person had an argument with the person who's now deceased as well.
Yeah.
So if I was a cop or a detective, I would definitely look into that.
Investigate at least.
And or watch maybe your back.
I mean, if they, because on last night when I came home, the whole apartment was from the outside. The lights were on. All of the lights were on, from the bedroom to the bathroom to the living room. They're all on. And tonight I didn't see any lights being on. But they had left. They left the main door open, both doors open. Not the apartment door, but the hallway doors. They were both open in this cold weather, freezing weather, just to get rid of the stench. But I'm sure they have collected enough evidence to determine whether there was foul play involved or not. But
I feel like they have an obligation to tell their other neighbors if there was foul play involved, because if there's like someone who's dangerous who has access to those apartments, it's
right. No,
I'm all worried. Anyway. That is very upsetting, very disturbing. Yeah. I'm concerned for your safety considering this chain of events, but, you know, just be careful.
Yeah. he could end up buying both apartments.
Maybe it's time you move to California. That's all I'm saying.
Lock my top lock as well. At night.
That's not enough. Jesus Christ. It's time to move to California. You like the weather here.
Oh, the leaves
if
are
you
brown,
miss the if you miss the cold, we have that too.
Oh, did you watch the Grammys? That was the
I did. I like that performance by Gaga, and yeah. I loved her outfit.
Bruno Mars, yeah.
We're moving on to 90 Day Fiancé. Tell all part 4. Thank you for the story.
Welcome everyone. Go ahead. All right, so we start off with Faith and Lauren, continuation of last episode, and she's still very upset, and she says no finally to Lauren, even though she says she loves him. I don't know if it's for the money or Lauren, but Lauren says, being Lauren, he says it's okay if that's what, you know, she wants, you know, not being together anymore. And then, you know, shortly after, they take a break. They go out for some food. It was just like, I think it was just Lauren and Vanya. And Vanya says, what do you think?
Yeah.
What are you going to do when she tells you that? And, you know, that's when he says, you know, he's just trying to help her out. And he just breaks down. You know, crying. It's the first time ever we see Lauren in tears. And it's heartbreaking because you have seen him like with that smile on his face all the time. And when he cries, it's very sad. So
she even said what we said too. She was like, it's like he's human. He has feelings or whatever.
I
and
know.
I was like, wow, she said the same.
And as they were talking, all of a sudden somebody breaks in. It's like, we got to go on the set. Okay, already. You know, like they bring everybody on. And then we start with Brian and Ingrid. And,
oh my God.
And Sean asks him, so we found out that you met somebody else in Brazil, and he apparently they show the flashback, and that same night that they break up, Brian goes out to a bar and he meets up with someone else, you know, at the bar, and they show her, and they mic her up, I guess. They talk a little bit.
She's in an interview scene. Exactly. They spent a long time with her, yeah.
And then we find out that wasn't the person that he's with right now, is a third person who's actually from Colombia, and they met in Chicago. So apparently he was seeing someone else in Chicago, and then a friend of hers, friend of the girlfriend or a friend, comes over from Colombia. Her name is Nadi, and he kind of likes her. Brian likes this other person, Nadi. They become girlfriend boyfriend, I guess, and they go on a date. And
yeah,
that's the person he's talking about when he says that I am with somebody right now. She's not here. She's back in Colombia. And they bring her on, and she right away, she praises Brian. You know, she says, Brian is a nice, you know, is a gentleman, and is, you know, he's great, and, you know, all kinds of nice things about him. And then Sean asks Ingrid if Ingrid has any advice. Oh, then she says,
you're moving way too quickly. I have a million things to say. Slow down.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Just cut it.
Number one, yeah. I take back what I said about Adnan being my most hated person. Adnan, you're an angel.
Exactly.
You're a beautiful angel. Okay? Compared to Brian. Brian, if you're listening to this,
I'm coming for you.
You're a disgusting piece of shit. Okay? Brian lives for the beginning stages of relationships. Right. The second something goes sour, right, he's like, on to the next one. He is a womanizer.
Right.
He has such an inflated ego.
Right.
That when Ingrid was like saying, rightfully so,
right,
hey, you had a freak out when I didn't give you consent to be intimate with me.
Right.
And then this other woman is saying, you take your time and you're, you know, respectful and all of that. Why would you treat me differently? He goes, she's jealous. Look right at her. She's jealous.
I know.
She's jealous.
Like, give me a break.
What the is your problem, bro? Right. She's trying to ask you why you were like bordering on sexual assault, right, by being so forceful with her in the bedroom.
Exactly.
And you're like, she's jealous. She's jealous. It's like, you're gross.
Yeah.
And they bring the new girlfriend on, and Sean is like, oh, I'm going to introduce you to one of Brian's ex, and she's about to say Ingrid, and Niles goes, one of many.
Yeah.
So shady. He's like,
and my issue with Brian is like, he's just like trying to prove like he's still got it. I'll screw whatever comes on.
Yeah, you know, he's obsessed with that.
Before I come and see you, I was with five other women. It's like, okay, we get it. What is your issue? What is the problem? Like, you know, what are you trying to prove to everybody around you? You know,
he has such a f-ing complex. Like, he's so deeply insecure about the fact that he is in a wheelchair, but he hasn't made peace with that. I remember the very first episode where we met him, and I remember saying on the podcast with you, I was like, this man has not healed from what happened. Like, he is crying like it happened like yesterday. Like, he has not made peace with anything that has happened in his life. He's got a chip on his shoulder because of it. Right. I don't understand that, but I can understand why.
Right.
But what gives you this then the right to have license to treat women like they're accessories, that you're like, oh, I'm going to wear this hat today or that hat today. Oh, this one's bothering me. I'm going to do this, you know. And then he said after that, because some people were getting, they weren't leaning into him nearly as hard as they should have been, exactly, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But he starts going on about this I'm in a wheelchair. A blood clot could break off from my leg and give me an embolism, and I could die tomorrow or whatever. It's like, okay.
Yeah, they try to give him advice. Like, why don't you take any of a break? Anyone
can die tomorrow. I could get hit by a bus. Exactly. I don't to use that as an excuse to justify. He's like, I'm living my life. It's like you living your life, and he's like, I'm not hurting anyone. It's like you are. You are. You're leaving a path of like shit behind you as you live your life. It's not without strings attached. You're being a shithead.
Yeah.
You're treating people horribly. You're disrespecting women. You're just dropping in the second that they disagree with something.
Right.
And I loved that this new girlfriend is like, actually, it hasn't been all rainbows and sunshine.
Yeah,
he has a temper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He has a temper. He yells at me a lot. He's really controlling.
Yeah.
You know, like all these horrible things. It's like, okay, he's probably shitting on you right now because he can't weather the storm of any relationship. He just moves on.
Right, right. And then, Sean asks, she actually says that Brian does lie to her. And then when Sean asks Brian directly, like, have you ever lied to Nadi? He has to think about it. He's like,
I won't say never because I'm sure I've lied here and there. Right? What?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, that's not like.
And throughout this time, Ingrid is just calm and collected and she's just sitting there, you know.
I love her.
And when Sean asks Ingrid, do you have any advice for Nadi? And she says, just try not to help him out because, you know, he gets angry and let him do whatever he wants to do, you know. And that's when Nadi brings up the anger issues, that he raises his voice and it gets worse and worse every time something happens that doesn't go his way. And it just turns out that he probably has, you know, he has anger issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, beside the fact that he lies to everybody, he has this anger issue and he has this huge complex that he's never tried to resolve or talk to anybody about it. And he doesn't want to wait. He wants to keep going on with different people. Even when his daughter suggests that maybe you should take a break, it doesn't mean you take a break for 5 years, but it does mean take a few months, take a year, you know. And
there's so many women like this too. Doesn't discriminate against people's gender. It's like they're people who cannot stand being alone.
I know.
They're so like, they're serial daters, they're serial monogamous, whatever you want to call it, but like it's not healthy to not be able to live with just yourself.
And
a part of life is solitude,
right? And then, the funny part was that he started criticizing Nadi about, you know, the way she dresses and
I love this.
She dresses provocatively and, you know, and this is where Adnan has the biggest smile on his face. It's like, you criticize my wife, her dress being like a burqa.
And yeah, exactly.
Now you're criticizing how your, you know, girlfriend dresses and, you know. It was funny to see
Adnan. It was perfect. Yeah, Adnan literally just told the girlfriend, he's like, just so you know, Brian is lying because he sat here and told me that I should let my wife do whatever she wants and dress however she wants.
Right.
So if he's telling you you can't,
I know.
He's a liar.
Exactly.
It was just like, It was perfect.
It was one of the happiest moment for Adnan, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the little smile creep on his face as he was listening. He's like,
and he was, now's my moment. Quiet for a while, and then as soon as this happened, it's like a smile on his face. He just started, you know, laughing and, you know, talking again. And it was interesting to see that.
Yeah. Also, the other thing was that he's deeply insecure because he wants to control what she wears, because right. he thinks that she's going to leave him because he's not secure in himself.
Right.
But he also freaked out about some photo that she had that they shared. And she's right. I think it's a pretty benign photo. It's like she had done some kind of competition. And they did there were like two guys who were also in the competition, had them on her back.
Exactly.
Yeah. CrossFit. Yeah. And it's like, that's a perfect example of how Brian is like, she's going to leave me for someone who's able-bodied or whatever it is that it's in his head. And it's like, No, she's probably going to leave you because you're constantly yelling at her and controlling her and freaking out on her when she's just trying to have a normal relationship. She even said, she was like, I want to have a stable relationship. Like, I don't want to be in a situation where this constant arguing.
I know. He's something else, this guy, Brian. And throughout the whole thing, you know, Ingrid was just sitting there, you know, being nice to him. And the expressions on her face were priceless.
Said enough, yeah.
It's like, she's calm, cool, collected, you know, never criticized, never, you know, said anything bad about Brian at all.
Yeah.
You know, just let him, you know, be the way he is. And everybody knows how he is, you know, Brian is, and, you know, act accordingly around him. Yeah, go ahead.
The same way you said last week that we could learn a lot from Lauren.
Yeah.
We can also learn a lot from Ingrid, mm-hmm. because she's the type of person who's like, I'm just going to let them dig their own grave, and I'm just going to be kind and respectful. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was a horrific look on Brian. He looked horrible.
Yeah, it was
pretty bad. I don't mean physically. I mean his behavior was horrible. And the other Brian-related thing that happened at the very end,
right?
I don't know if you remember this, but he was like, she's sitting here acting like Virgin Mary, and she has two kids by two men who both left before they were two. Exactly. We're not going to talk about that. Excuse me?
Right. Because
are you kidding me?
He probably is getting so much negativity coming his way from everybody, from social media and all that. He feels like he has to, you know, defend himself by making somebody else look bad, you know. So
I mean,
I'm not the bad guy here, and she's a bad, you know, bad person.
That was such a low blow to me. Like,
exactly,
to insinuate that it was her fault that these men walked out on her and her children.
Yeah, that which was awful.
Is completely like an unacceptable thing to do. Like, there's no, like, even if there was something that the father of the children had an issue with, them walking out on her and the children is inexcusable.
Right.
And that's not on her. That's not on any woman or single mother or vice versa. That's an issue that they have.
Right.
So for Brian to say, no one's going to talk about that. Like, no one's going to talk about it. It's like, no, because what you're saying is shitty and you're doing a thing. And you don't look any better by trying to push her, by trying to slander her name. It's not working. Right. You just look horrible.
I know. Yeah.
They went to Joey and Magda next.
Yeah, we go to Joe and Magda. And apparently none of his friend wanted to come to New York to the studio and defend them or talk or anything like that. None of them wanted to participate in this discussion. And they do a flashback of the pool party he had with
oh God, this was bad.
With Jill and his friends, and there was another friend that was sitting right next to him,
Stephanie.
Her name's Stephanie, and then they have her on. This is like never before seen, and he starts talking about the fact that her and Joey hooked up. When, you know, I mean, this was after Jill, I guess. And, you know, she keeps going on and on about, you know, hooking up with Joey and, you know, and the guy next to him, I was assuming that it's her boyfriend.
Her current partner. That's what I thought, yeah, too. Yeah. I'm like, she's really talking a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy next to Stuff, he says, yeah, Joe is very horny. And why does he have to go to Poland to hook up? He can hook up right here in Florida. It was very strange to see that.
It was like the worst thing they could have said with Magda listening.
Right.
It was horrible.
Magda's already got issues. Now you pile this on top of everything else. And, you know, and... Joey was like, you couldn't, like, he wasn't saying anything at all. He got so quiet.
He was petrified.
Exactly. And so they say, Sean says, so Joe, did you had sex with Jill and Stephanie, correct? And he just looks at her, just no response at all. No, say doesn't.
He's
say
like, maybe
yes,
if I don't say anything, they'll forget that I'm here.
I know. It's like, don't look at me. And Lauren turns around and says, "Why don't you make a list of all the people you had sex with and give that list to Magda, so that way you're all clear?" You know, I mean, that's the one thing you love about Lauren is like, he says whatever,
totally unaware.
It's like. So Joe doesn't say anything. He's just like so quiet. It's like you're waiting for that response. Anything, say anything at all. It's just like, you know, nothing. And then they ask, turn to Magda and says, and you know, they say, what do you think? And she says, is there a place open now? I can get some vodka. You know, she needs to get something, you know, cause she's like, she doesn't know what to say either. And so they take a break and they go out and Joe picks up the phone and, you know, he calls Magda right away and he says, I love you. I'm going to see you in a few weeks. And that's all we hear. Next thing we see is like Joe packing up and leaving. And we not knowing that it's like the whole thing was, oh, the show was pretty much over. Everybody was leaving. It wasn't just Joe. They made it look like, you know, Joe got up and left. And
they're like, you know, whoa, where are you going? There. He's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
I don't want to say anything to incriminate myself. I want to get the hell out of here. And they all get up and leave. And it was like... The tell-alls before, like, people would nicely say goodbye to each other, and, you know, this was, like, so cold. It was, like, so, you know, none of them really gave
a shit. They didn't vibe with each other. Like, yeah.
I'm just leaving, and I don't care.
Yeah.
It was weird. But I'm excited to talk about that a little bit. Season 11 of 90 Day Fiancé February 16th at 8 p.m. And let's talk about the couples that are going to be on there.
Okay, you are prepared today. Let's go.
Got my research done.
All right.
There's going to be 7 couples.
Okay, and Renee and Chili.
They reappear. Poor out Chitty. Of nowhere. We're back.
Justice for Chitty.
Our favorite Shekinah Sarp are going to be on there.
Really?
Yep. About him getting to know Shekinah's daughter, basically.
Great. So he's going to be in the States for this one.
I know. So it's going to be, the country is going to be like this. Turkey and Los Angeles, right? And then we're going to have Sean and Aaliyah. Brazil and Los Angeles, which in their case is going to be like the age gap is going to be a situation there. It's like 30 or 29 to 30
years. This is a new couple, right?
Yeah, these are new couples. I haven't seen any of the others except for Shekinah and Sarper, of course.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Some of them might have been in the in other series of 90 Day, but I never watched the other ones, except the other way. I watched that.
Then I might know them because I watch all of them.
So it's Sean and Aaliyah from Brazil and Los Angeles, the age gap.
Okay, doesn't sound familiar.
And then Jessica and Juan, Colombia and Wyoming.
And then I have to see their faces.
And then we have Gregory and Joan. That will be Uganda and Long Island.
Hey!
The guy apparently doesn't do anything. He just sits at home, you know, and he lives with his mom, and she's like this world-renowned NGO executive or something.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
We have a lot of those types on the guys,
right?
Josh and Lily and all that.
And then the next one is going to be Mark and Mina. That would be friends and New Hampshire.
Okay.
So that would be another age gap situation there.
Gross.
The one before last one is going to be the first ever throuple. Is going to be
Don't tell me it's Gino and his new girls.
No, Matt, Amani, and Ani.
Oh, okay.
So Matt and Amani is trying to hook up with Ani. So it'll be Mexico and San Diego, right?
Oh, my God.
And the last, but not the least, is going to be Stevie and Mahdi. Mississippi and
Iran.
Woo! That will be strange.
Bubba's Inventor is going to have Iruni take over next season. It's going to be so embarrassing.
I hope this guy doesn't embarrass us.
He will. He certainly will. For any listeners who've watched 90 Day Fiancé UK, you have already seen how Iranians have embarrassed the shit out of us. There was an Iranian guy on there, and it was just so embarrassing because he was so clearly just needed a green card. And he was dating this woman who was a lovely woman, but not a very pretty woman.
Right.
And he was straight up like at the act. He was like on his phone and stuff, and like they're signing the marriage documents, and he answers the phone. He's like, "Hello." Yeah. Like he's like, so
hi mom.
It was bad.
How are you?
Yeah, Momonjan, hello. And she's like, we're getting married. Like, we're signing the documents now. Can you just call them later?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, this is going to be bad. I can't wait.
He probably apparently is coming from Iran and is going to live in Mississippi. And issue is going to be
Iran. It's going to be horrible for him. That's a horrible place to land
cultural,
coming from Iran.
Stuff going on. So it'll be fun to discuss for sure.
Well, okay, if that's the case, then we will be taking a 1 week break because of the Super Bowl, and we'll be back the following week for our hot takes on the new couples of 90 Day Fiancé OG.
Episode of the season, new season.
Exactly. Everyone be well. Enjoy the Super Bowl or don't.
Yeah,
and we'll
enjoy.
Be back soon.
Eat a lot of junk food.
You know,
root for somebody.
Do your thing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's better if you root for a team or the other.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's more enjoyable.
All right. Well, thank you for listening and check back in a week or two for our next episode. Bye, y'all. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Just a quick note, the opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not reflect those of our employers. Our content is for entertainment purposes only and are not meant to cause harm or encourage harassment. Please do not send hate or harass anyone that we discuss. That is not cute. That is not cool. Thank you for listening, and until next time.